again? It should be different than that slide there. Is that a 1,025? Go to 1,025. I never thought we'd be saying 1,000. I thought, well, maybe I did. I think I told y'all this was going to be a long one. I think I predicted like 1,400 or something like that. Just by that one week that the Lord had me steal away and meditate on this. That week was a phenomenal week. It's amazing how much the Lord will challenge your heart and your life in a week. But we're dealing with the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. We dealt with that. We know what the letter does. What does it do? It kills. That's just that. But the spirit of the law, it's what the way Elohim meant it is the way we should receive it. And you can only do that by Holy Spirit. You can't do it with man's wisdom. No matter if I teach you in man's wisdom, just because I know something, that doesn't mean you receive it. You receive it by the Spirit of God that's in you. That's how come you can sit two people in the same building and one receive it and be blessed and the other one hear it and not walk in the blessing. It's the same word. But the spirit of the law is understood and received. When you receive something, it becomes what? Your possession. You possess it now. It's yours in your hand. You got it. Go to Jerusalem in Acts, he tells them. Tarry there till you be endued with power from on high. And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You shall receive power. So once you receive that power, it's in your hand. Now, we got to understand what that does, what it gives to us. And so last night, if you weren't here, all I can tell you is get the tape, because I can't go over that today. I can't get back on that, and I can't even review it. So anyway, go online and listen to it. Okay? It should be there. If not, it'll be there soon. Okay, so how many there? Let's go and get. This is where we left off last night, and it's a different. So we're moving on, and we're looking at how Messiah takes Matthew 5 and he starts showing us what God meant. You've heard it said, but I say unto you. Now, what Yeshua says is what God meant. Don't forget that. These are not my words. That's what he says. These are not my words. I'm telling you what God meant. It's a commentary, as it were, of what was said in the Tanakh. A commentary. So, remember, the spirit of the law, the way Elohim meant it, is the way we should receive it. I went home last night. I do this all the time. And I think about what we just said and where we're going with this. And I went add that to this because it's important. It's valuable. It's important for us to understand. I think it helps you understand that the spirit of the law is of value to us. Remember, this whole series is based upon understanding Galatians in light of Torah. Understanding Galatians in light of that. So I would encourage everyone to make sure you're doing your portion, Torah portions. Whether you are able to attend Bible study or not, that doesn't mean you have it with you. You got to discipline yourself to do that. You may be working. It might be where you can't do that. But you got it with you. Do them portions because it's in light of that that you understand Galatians. In light of all those wonderful elements of Scripture. So we want to go and continue down this and see how far we get this morning concerning this. So let's look at it together. I believe this section here is going to really help. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 1. This is important. I'm going to lay this out first because we're giving you more description of what it means to understand the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law. It's what God meant. Now, he says it. You know, here's what some people say. Well, why don't he just come out and say it clearly? Well, he could have. But I ain't in a position to question God on that. He didn't say it clearly. But those who understand it in the spirit clearly understand it. That's why Yeshua spoke the way he spoke. Did he do anything different than his father? No, he did the same thing. He said, I'm speaking these things. For them, it's not going to be understood. But for you, it's to understand it. It's not a different message. It's not changing it in any way. Listen, if people say, well, we're not under the old law, we're under the new covenant, and they say it like it's changed or something, that's crazy thinking. But that's because the church world has led people to believe that. Well, I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what the devil wants. He doesn't want you to have the word. He doesn't want you to understand it, because the more you understand it, you'll see how incredible it is. Well, you'll find that out this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, again, this is Paul, his first letter to the church at Corinth. This is a Gentile Christian church. They're Gentiles, they're Christians, and he's having to explain to them some things because they got some error going on. We, of course, went over that last night and reiterated that pertaining to a sexual immorality. I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of Elohim. If you're going to, what does he say? He said, when I declare the testimony of Elohim, what he's done, why he did what he did, he said, I'm not using man's wisdom. So he's making sure they understand that. For I determined not to know anything among you save Yeshua Messiah and him impaled, him crucified. Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much tremblings. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. That's something we have to be careful in. Remember, I gave you a quote from Spurgeon last night. He said, shepherds feed sheep, and clown entertain goats. And listen, Spurgeon's a long time ago. His words fit today. We have shepherds feeding sheep, and we have clowns entertaining goats. Every service. Let me leave that one alone. But in demonstration of the power, spirit of power. So he's showing something to him here. He's introducing something. But in demonstration of spirit and of power. This is what his words are directed in. Not man's wisdom. Not suppositions. That was a big issue with all of us understanding, is reading into the text, a supposition, meaning you've already come to understand a position of Scripture, and every Scripture you read after that is understood with that supposition. That, you can't learn anything from Scripture with suppositions. Well, I don't want to get narrow. If it's the truth, then you're going to know it. You shall know the truth. Not maybe, you shall know the truth. But we have to apply ourselves to the text. Let the Scripture be what it is. What it's going to do, more than likely, is change suppositions. It's going to be a difficult thing for us because after you've done it for so long, a couple things happen. You say, well, how didn't I know this sooner? Or why am I just finding it out now? And if I am, how do I know it's not false? Those are all legitimate questions that come to you. Well, you check it. That's how you know. You check it. You start reading the Scripture. Notice that when you're after truth, what does it make you do? read the scripture. But if you're satisfied with supposition, you hardly read. Because you live by what you already believe. Think about that. He says in verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. So he keeps going back to this. He keeps referring to this wisdom of men. But how? But in the power of Elohim. That's where it should stand. Our faith needs to stand in the power. Now, if he's talking about faith standing, that means something's coming against it. Faith standing means it's going to have adversity against it. It's going to have trouble against it. But you do what? When you've done all you can to stand, stand. Having your loins girded about with first thing. First thing, when you've done all you can, have your loins girded about with truth. Verse 6. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the prince of this world that come to naught. The prince of this world comes to what? Naught. That's not a very good prophecy over you. But he just tells us, come out, we're not talking about that, but he's letting us know the prince of this world, that we watch what we follow, comes to naught. It comes to naught, meaning it's not there yet. It looks like it's thriving. It looks like it's winning. But never forget, the prince of this world comes to naught. He might be ruling now, but he won't rule very long. Now, this is after Messiah. But is at this time you're going to give the kingdom back to Israel? For that hour, no man knows. So he's letting them know. He says, it's not for you to know, but only my Father knows. But there's going to come a time, and we have the rest of Scripture that tells us he's coming back. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But we speak, listen to what he speaks, not man's wisdom, but we speak the wisdom of Elohim in a what? In a mystery. Imagine that. We speak the wisdom of Elohim in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Even the hidden wisdom. How many want to know about the wisdom that's in a mystery and hidden wisdom? Which, now he's talking about this wisdom, Elohim ordained before the world unto our glory. Notice that. Why did he do it that way? For our glory. That's how he ordained it. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. So if we ask the question, well, how many of them knew this? He said, none. None of the prince of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have impaled or crucified the master of glory. The one that leads us to this glory. They wouldn't have crucified it had they known. Verse 9. But as it is written. Isn't that something about Paul? He always does this. He goes back to Scripture. Silly Paul. Scripture, Scripture, Scripture. When he teaches, man, isn't that something? He's always using Scripture. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which Elohim have prepared for them that love him. So he's quoting something here. Verse 10 says, but Elohim has revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. By his Spirit. For the Spirit, he's telling us what it does, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Elohim. The Spirit searches. Now I'm going to show you that because that's what happens when you go into the Word and you're led by the Spirit of God in teaching or preaching, whatever it is. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. If you go in and just your mind, you're going to get a headache. You're going to look at it and say, man, that's too much. Let Pastor do that. I don't do it because I think it's fun. The Spirit searches the deep things of God. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. How many understand that? And you can tell when you try to do it or you're letting the Spirit do it. The Spirit doesn't have any hang-ups. It flows. When it's you, you're going to struggle with it. Well, I don't understand that. I don't understand that. Listen, if you're not understanding it, you're trying to approach it with man's wisdom. Stop and pray and say, Lord, I want to be led by your spirit. I want to be guided by your spirit because your spirit searches the deep things of God. How many want to know the deep things of God? I mean, if they're available, we should know it. Look at this quote, Isaiah 64:4. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O Elohim, beside thee, what he had prepared for him that waited for him. So, by this alone, we should know that Paul understood the scripture. This is a quote. He's quoting, as it is written. If he says, as it is written, he's referring this to this passage. You ought to challenge yourself every time you read the Bible and it says, as it is written, stop right there. Now, some Bibles have went through it. If you got footnote Bible, a study Bible would already do it for you and to have it listed there. And you go read it. That's the easy way. But if yours doesn't list it, go find it. Where is it talking about it is written? If it's written, I'm going to go find it. Well, where are you going to go? To some secular book? You're going to go to some historical paper that somebody wrote? No, you're going to go back to the Tanakh. That's where you're going to find it, in the Tanakh. You're going to go back to Torah, the prophets, the readings, the Psalms. You're going to find it there. Because that's what they used. He's preaching to the church at Corinth based on what? Remember, the words before it is written is his words. As he's talking about it, as the Spirit comes on him, he's delivering the message. But when he says it's written, he's talking about something that's already been said. And he's given this. He's given the Spirit of Torah. Now watch this. Let's continue. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So the question's at the beginning of this phrase. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of Elohim knoweth no man. The things of God knoweth no man. Now understand that. He's not talking about just sinner man, saved man, any of that. He says no man. No man knows. But he gives a qualifier. But, what's the qualifier? The spirit of Elohim. But the spirit of Elohim. That's important. That's important. That same spirit that Christ had come upon him, all of a sudden, he's got this amazing understanding of who the Father is. Now, he knew that from a long time ago because he says at 12, when he was asked the question, he says, I'm about my Father's business. What is that? Well, he knew what it was. He knew what his Father's business was because he was reading the Tanakh. That's what he read at 12. Think about it. We're trying to find how to keep our kids in church. Let me just go on this. By entertaining them. What about them reading the Tanakh? What about giving them a spiritual encounter with God that they are weep before him? I gave this to you not long ago. And the Lord reminded me of it last night as I meditated on the day's service. I meditated, and the Lord reminded me again, and he just brought it, and I didn't write it down. I always tell the Lord, me and God's got something going here. I never write it down. If I'm going to give you the text, this is the text, but what I say, Lord, unless you bring it to my memory, then maybe I shouldn't be talking about it. But if you remind me in the course of everything that's said, the songs and prepping and reading the text, if you remind me, it must be important. And I trust you, and I will say whatever you remind me of. But what our kids need is a spiritual encounter with God. That's what they need. We need to encourage them to read the scripture. Encourage them to participate and worship the Lord. Well, it's hard for them to want to do that if we're not having those encounters as the parents. We got to have those encounters. We can't expect your children to want to do it if you're not pressing in. Amen? Now we receive, again he says, but the spirit of Elohim. That's what knows the things of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now how many know there's a spirit of the world that's very dangerous? But he's saying to the church, we didn't receive the spirit of the world. Think about that. How many know there's a lot of things going on out there that it's the spirit of the world, and it looks, it's being said in the name of Jesus. The spirit of the world, but using Jesus, using that name, using that atmosphere. It's a service. It's conducted as a service. They're going to be song sang. They're going to be some speaker get up and speak, but it's the spirit of the world. It's a dangerous thing. I mean, you ask yourself the question, well, how do we know? This is nothing to play with. And the demonic influence is waiting to just have somebody that they can inhabit and carry that disease all over the place. No different than Ham did. Just waiting for an opportunity so that demonic influence can carry that seed through the fires of Molech. It's to taint the seed, and it goes from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. Only the Savior can get us out of that corruption. That's why we have to write anything our hands got put on, anything our eyes got sight of, anything our ears heard of, we got to check our lives and say, Lord, I can't, it's canceled out of my life by the blood of Yeshua HaMashiach. You say, well, how is that possible? Though your sins be as scarlet, you'll be made white as wool. I mean, we got to get that. You got to let that live in your life. What happened in your past, you have to make sure once you know it and you didn't take care of it. Because sometimes we don't. We think, well, I went to church and I felt good. Well, just wait a little bit long and all of a sudden the enemy's going to come and he's going to give you flashbacks. Now, either you still scarlet or you're white like wool. And it's going to be put in your face as scarlet. The enemy's going to put it in your face as scarlet. Look at you. You pathetic. I don't even know why you do what you do. But if you apply the scripture, it's white as snow. It's white as wool. You've been changed. The blood of Yeshua has changed me. That's important in your growth. It's important in you growing in the Lord. If not, you'll go back. You can test that. I was going to do a test this morning, but it was more than I can handle. I was going to have some music keyed up. And I was going to let them play that music and see what kind of response I get from the people. And if I get a response, the only way I can, because it anchors itself as an influence in each of us. Because if I can influence you by a small audio clip, you know, I always said to the Lord, I'm not going to say it unless you remind me. I just would have hoped God would have passed this one up right here. Because I was trying to go around it. Because you can get a response from people. How many's ever been somewhere or went somewhere and a song keyed up of something you used to do? And it automatically brings you back to that moment. We say, well, it's not bad. It's just all fun. We all were laughing about it. To you, the enemy saying, I still got my hand on you. I still got my hand on you. And it's just a matter of time. All he got to do is pick the day that's real bad for you. The day that you really having a rough go at it, where you don't know if God's looking after you anymore. Because, man, if he's looking after me, I don't know why I'm in what I'm in. But you're in it because he's trying to build your faith. The enemy says you're in it because he don't really care about you. And he'll get what you're anchored to, and he'll put it up. And before you know it, y'all didn't know that, huh? Older folks miss that clean. Different genre, different time. But some folk got it real fast. If you want to do that, he's got his hand on you. But it don't seem that bad to me. That's fine. I'm here to deliver the message. Keep believing that. Or you can say, God, all of those thoughts and ideas, because if I can get you to respond to it, it's anchored in you. And if I'd have had the music tune up and did it with the music, I'd have had people almost shout. That's why it would have been more than y'all can handle. Am I telling the truth or not? You said, but it don't matter. Oh, it does matter. You'd be shocked what's happening in churches all around America today. That's part of the band. We didn't receive the spirit of the world. We don't receive the spirit of the world. Am I helping y'all? But the spirit which is of Elohim. Does Elohim want a nay-nay? I'm just asking. I don't think you're going to find Elohim going swoosh, swoosh. Yet, believers, Holy Spirit-filled believers, speaking in tongue believers, all of a sudden, it's just fun night. We're having a fun night. We're just going to have a fun night tonight. And this is what they're doing. They say, okay, what we're going to do is separate the group and we're going to put them in colors. So those born from a certain year to the 50s or whatever, 60s, they'll make them dress in black. And those born from certain age, from then on, they'll dress in brown and in red and so on and so forth. And then they'll queue up in the church with 7,000-8,000 people. They'll queue up songs of their year. And everybody gets out and does the whatever. Well, some of those folk been in church for 20 years, 30 years. But all of a sudden, when the music's keyed up, I'm back that fast. Think about that. Yet, sometimes you can hit, hallelujah. And folks say, well, you know, yeah, they can sing hallelujah, but man, I had a bad week this week. When it gets anchored to you, it don't matter how bad your week is. Matter of fact, you didn't care if they queued it up or not. You walked into church singing, hallelujah, hallelujah, because you received the spirit of Elohim. That's how you tell. But if you got the spirit of the world, all you got to do is have somebody, one, it can be one person, go in that mode and you right there with them. It's anchored. Get rid of it. And the way you do it is say, Lord, when I was in that world, that thing attached itself to me. It's somewhere, somewhere inside of me. And I've pushed through it all this time and I've praised you and served you, but I noticed something about me. That when it hits that tune, it pulls me from 30 plus years I hadn't done. It pulls me from that moment back into this present moment, and I feel it just as real as I felt it then. Something's wrong with that. That's something, that's the spirit of the world. We didn't receive that. We received the spirit of Elohim. How many understand that? In my theory, which I believe is correct, even though I didn't do it to the fullest because I just couldn't put myself to it, nor did I have the time. It takes time to orchestrate all that. My theory is correct. I could have got more than just a grin out of you. I believe I could have got a participation out of you. Clowns entertain the goats. So they doing this in this big conference. Thousands of people there. They get to the younger generation, and all of a sudden, what comes out of those wearing red? Man, you would not believe it. They bleep the cuss words out. Now, this is going on during the conference. This is not hid. You can go watch it yourself. This is during the conference. All right now. When it was all done, okay, that's enough of that. Turn with me in your Bibles. Are you serious? Let me just tell you, you don't mix the holy and the profane. You don't mix them two. They're different. If you want your testimony, right, you don't mix the holy and the profane. You don't do that. But that was just one of my theories about what's anchored in me. That was my question. Lord, what else is anchored in me? What else is there? What haven't I let go yet? I feel good about what I've already done, but feeling good about what I've done isn't enough to keep me from the day that I'm going to be assaulted by the enemy. Is it enough? But we received the spirit of which is of Elohim, that, and he tells us why, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of Elohim. Know the things that are freely given to us. How many want everything he's got for you? They're freely given. Freely given. How many want to know those things? That's why we're doing what we're doing. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. How many see that? How does he do it? By Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of the law. What God meant for us to get out of it. The Holy Spirit teaches comparing. What are we doing? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Isn't that something? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man. Notice this. He just comes out and tells you. The natural man received not the things of the Spirit of Elohim. The natural man receives not, notice that, receives not the things of the Spirit of Elohim. For they are what unto him? Foolishness. Foolishness. Let me tell you how you could be leaning toward foolishness. Let me tell you how that works. Very important. Foolishness comes to mind when you hear someone say, well, I don't think it's that serious. All right, let me give you, let me just lay this out to you. I'm going to use an example. This is an example. So I have Brother Josh as my example. And his son's life's on the line. His son. And he knows it. And then somebody tells him that if you do this, his life will be saved. How many know to him what he just been directed to do? That's serious to him. But to me, it might not be as serious. You know why? It's not my son on the line. Can I tell you that God put his son on the line? Quit saying it's not serious to God because it is serious to God. There was a cost for that. So it don't matter what you think serious. That's man's wisdom. If he says it's serious, it's serious. His son's life is on the line, the life that he gave. So it is serious to God. It means a lot to God. You know, if somebody calls Brother John and says, you need to get here and you need to be here fast. I mean, he's burning tires up. He's rolling. There might be 25 people in there. Those closest to him, they're jumping in their vehicle and they're right behind him. And if it's a stranger, he's going, I don't know what's going on. Wonder what's happening. And that's how people respond. And it don't mean they don't care. It's not that folks don't care. People care. You get up and you got yourself ready. You're here. You must care. But if you care enough to make it where it's that serious to you, that when you're here, it's the life of somebody that laid their life down, called us their friend, that paid a price for us, that we should look at these things and say, you know what? It's serious here. So we take a self-evaluation. How often do we pick our cross up? How often do we pick our cross up? He said, every day. Well, I've been saved 30 years. So, what does that mean? Think about that. Because we don't mind throwing out what we've accomplished. But what did we do today to make sure that we're being what God wants us to do today? He said, take up your cross daily and follow me. Every day. Every day with him. For the natural man received not the things of the spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. That's why folks don't know a lot. Because they're spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. You know, you got to be careful folks going around talking about they discern this and they discern that. You got prophets running around and I discern this. I'm getting it right now. If you discern something that's not in the Tanakh, you discern in the wrong spirit. And if you don't know the Tanakh, you won't know if they're telling you the truth or not. You just take it because they got charisma. They got emotion. And it don't take long to get to your emotions. I just proved that to you. I can get to your emotions. Whatever you're anchored to, I can get to it. All I got to do is hit one tune. Do you understand? So your emotions can be gotten. And that's what people are trying to do. You'll get in an environment, they're after your emotions. They're after to get you mesmerized with the surroundings and get your focus on what thus said the Lord. Then it becomes what man says. He's the one orchestrating it. It's him that's guiding everybody. What about the word of God? Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He that is spiritual does what? Judgeth all things. Not some things. Don't go about talking about that doesn't matter. It does to God. It matters to him. It matters to him that all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, we get brought back to a certain time in our life, and that same spirit that made me feel good then still makes me feel good now, and I'm serving God. I don't want that. I don't want to mix the holy and the profane. I don't want to. But I have. I have before. And we shouldn't do that. It's not what he called us to. It's just helping you. How many things we judge? We judge all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. That's what happens when you do right. And you live right. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of Yahweh? Who had known the mind of Yahweh? That he may instruct him. How many know he wants to instruct us? But we have the mind of Messiah. Think about it. He just tells us the answer. Who had known the mind of Yahweh that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Messiah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what's happening here. Be not conformed to this world, the spirit of the world, how it operates. But be ye transformed, metamorpho. He said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I tell the Lord all the time, Lord, I got probably junk in my mind. Not because it just jumped on me when I was walking by innocently. Junk got in my mind by the things I see. It gets in my mind by the things I hear. Do you understand that? It gets there from those things, and they get in your mind. And it says, oh, I'm good, till I hit play. You know what you say? Lord, I don't want that stuff in my mind. I don't know if I dealt with this. Maybe that's the problem I'm having. And, you know, I'm going good, and all of a sudden I get like a depression hits me. I get discouraged. Why am I feeling that way? I can tell you it's probably we got to get rid of that. And just ask him, Lord, I'm asking you that leave me. So I hope that you see that the Spirit of God or the Spirit of the law is necessary in order for us to grow in God. Look at Matthew 16. We're going to do something just a little different, but it's still we're going to get to some points. Now I'm going to show you. here's what the scripture says. It says this, very important to understand. It says, We said that in Matthew when we was looking at Matthew's account. He says, you have heard that it was said, thou shalt not murder. Right? You have heard, thou shalt not murder. But I say it to you, one who hates his brother. Right? But he's telling us right up front. I'm going to show you some areas where it's not. He doesn't really just give it to us. He doesn't just give it to us. Here's one example. For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels. Matthew 16:27. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verse 28. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste death till, let me see that word, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now when he's saying this, this is a long time ago. Let's just say, for sake of not knowing exact time, over 1900 years ago. Let's just say that. Okay? How many believe that some of the people that was listening to him still alive? Think about that. They're not going to taste death till he comes. Can you see how some of the Orthodox Jews would think he's a false prophet? I could. Because he said they ain't going to die until, and he ain't back yet, and they gone. All right, let me give you another example. Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, I highlighted that, not what I'm talking about, but since it was there, I figured I'd highlight it since I was going past it, right? Let me just tell you, immediately after, I'd highlight that word because that's a key word in this verse, and it doesn't mean anything but after. It's not like it could have been translated a different word, not this word. In the accusative, you can go look it all up. If you're into that, in the past, you can go look all that up. It can only be translated after. Immediately after what? The tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven and the power of heaven shall be shaken. So you know what I believe, huh? After the tribulation, not before. The trump's going to sound. The dead shall be raised. Amen? All right. But we're not teaching that, but I just figured I had to go over it. I might as well touch on it just a little bit. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Wow. So that's what we're talking about. He said there'll be some here that won't see death till this event happens, is what he's talking about. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Verse 33, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till, there's that word again, till all these things be fulfilled. This generation. Wow. Okay, so what is he talking about? Because right now, so far, we're not getting this. Why is he saying it that way? Because they're spiritually understood. I'm going to show you how important it is to understand the spirit of Torah. Amen? Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in glory, in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Am I still talking about the same event? Yes, we never left the event. We're just talking about it in different passages. We still talk about the same event. He said, some of you standing here won't see death till. Talk about this generation won't, till he comes in glory and power and in Mark. Same thing, and he calls it now. He said, some of you, and he talks about him being adulterous and sinful generation. And now he's talking about this adulterous and sinful generation again in Mark 8. Now, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seek after signs, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. What does he call them? Evil and adulterous generation. Notice who he's talking to about. Mark chapter 1. Mark 9, verse 1. Mark 9, verse 1. And because this is a continuation of where we were reading in Mark 8. Remember, chapters and verses are there for our finding of Scripture, but there were none of that in the manuscript. So we continue, and I just put that other reading in there in between, but that's a continuation. So we were reading the account in Mark 8, 38. We read 38. We read, I want to read the next verse, which is 1 of 9. And he said unto them, same conversation. Not a different event, not a different day. Same day. And he said unto them, Verily, I say unto you, that there shall be some. Notice that. There shall be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death till. I don't think that's anything hidden there. He's just plainly telling us, there'll be some that won't taste death. Now, all of a sudden, and I use that saying, won't taste death till they have seen the kingdom of Yahweh come with power. That some is still that same group. We found out who that group is. We didn't know who the group was at first, but then we read more verses and we found out that's the evil and adulterous generation. That's the unsaved or the wicked. But that's not fair. You mean the wicked's not going to die until he comes? Yes. This is exactly what I mean. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8. And unto the angels of the assembly of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them that say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. I should have highlighted that. The Spirit saith to the church. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Remember, I had not seen, ear haven't heard, but God had revealed them to us, hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. So he says, he that has that ear, that does what? Hear what the Spirit says. Let him hear what the Spirit say unto the assembly. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the what? Second death. Oh, boy. So what was he talking about this whole time when he says, some of you here won't die until I come back? Second death. Because the rest of it is nonsense. Do you see? That's the spirit of Torah right there. That's the spirit of the law. That's what he's trying to say to us. And under the letter, it's going to be hard to understand these things. But once Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you meditate on these things and you ask God, all of a sudden the Scripture is going to become real to you. You're going to begin to see it. God's going to unfold His truth to you and you'll see what He's talking about. The only death He could have been talking about was the second death. And that's not going to happen until He comes. The evil and adulterous generation. They're going to be judged and they're going to die the second. How many understand what I'm talking about? This is, and so when you look at that, it just makes you, it gives you a shout moment, don't it? Look at John chapter 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, what do you got to do? Keep my sayings. He shall never see death. He shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou have a devil. Thou hast a devil. We've been thinking you had a devil. Now we know you got a devil. I hate that they were just beating around the bush about it. The Jews say unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste death. Let me remind you of Romans 7:14 again. Let me remind you of Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. I want you to understand that because it's important. It's valuable that we see this. Listen. When he returns, the trumpet's going to sound. The dead that died the first death are going to be in Christ. What's going to happen to them? They shall be raised. What about those who had never experienced that death? They shall be changed. Stepping from mortal into immortality. Let me tell you, you got to have the spirit of the law operating in your life. That way when you read the scripture, it'll always... Listen, I said this morning. I'll say it again. I've said it before. Once we get through this series, you're never going to read the scripture the same ever again. I said to you when we first started, this by far is the most important series I've ever done in 30 plus years of ministry. The most important. Because it sets your mind free. It challenges you to check your life. When we're done with this, if you apply the practical things, the elements of this teaching, if you'll just apply them to your life in a practical sense, you are going to be closer to the Lord. You're going to be challenged. You're going to, let me tell you how you know you've entered in. You know, let's talk about worship. What's worship? You can always, worship is so easy, because it's not about a group. You can include the group, but really worship is about an individual. It's a person. A person. So when you worship the Lord, there's two things as indications that you're looking for. The indications is this. When you're done, do you feel good or does he feel good? That's a good indication. Because what worship is designed to do is to take you and I from where we are a step closer to where he is. And when you do that, I can promise you, you automatically are not going to see the people around you. You can always tell if you made that step. Ain't but one thing you're going to look at. It's not him. I know that's spiritual. And that would sound good, and I could sell that to you. There ain't but one thing you're going to look at, and that's you. And you're going to look at those anchored spots and say, I can't do this. You're going to get rid of those anchored spots. That way when the music hits, you're not involved in that. You don't want to tap your feet. You don't want to shake your booty. You don't want to do any of that. Because you know the moment you do, it dishonors him. That's just a fact. You don't want to. And people are going to say, well, why are you not fun anymore? Call it whatever you want to call it. I'm headed somewhere. I'm trying to make sure that eternal life is mine. And I definitely want to let Brother Josh know that I don't want to not, it's his boy on the line. Do you understand that? Or we can be the stranger that didn't move and just say, I wonder what's going on. I want to be the guy that was second out the door, running up the road, chasing him fast as I could. It's not my boy, but as long as I know it's his, that means something to me. Do you understand that? That's how it ought to be. Well, let me just tell you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, we ought to be the second one out the door saying it matters to him. It really matters to God. Because he gave his only begotten son for me. It matters. And if it matters to him, it matters to me. And I want to conduct myself in a manner that he requires of me. When you know you took that step, immediately you know it. Because the only one person you're looking at or concerned with. Because if you're doing a group evaluation, you've missed it. You've missed the mark. The only evaluation you're doing is your life. Because you all of a sudden see what the light of the glory shines on that couldn't shine on while you was where you were. And the more you step closer to the glory, when you look into my glory, you'll be instantly changed. Instantly changed. There's something about it. It's not, I don't have to preach conviction to you. Although that you might feel that sometimes when I'm preaching. But conviction comes, an honest conviction comes the moment you step closer to God. He goes, because listen, closer to him means less of me. It's an automatic. You're not restrained by the group. You know, when I go, I just don't feel anything. Come on, let's quit using excuses that somehow it's somebody else. It's not somebody else. It's you can't be restrained by the group. You can't be wrapped up or tied up because somebody else is not doing it. We are where we are in God because that's where we want to be. And I can only bring the message to you today. I can't tell you that it's important. You know, I can give you ideas and concepts and bring the message to you. But this, the only way it works is you got to apply this in your life on a daily basis. You know the anchored spots. Nobody knows them spots better than you. How many in your life, think about your life. You say, man, I come to the Lord and I ask him to forgive me. And he forgave me. Let me just tell you this. Let me just tell you this so you're not confused about it. You come before God and you just throw out, Lord, forgive me in this general sense. And you say, okay, he did. You believe that. Yep, and I believe that with you. But you're not talking about, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, now I move on. You're dealing with a principality. You're dealing with a power, a ruler of darkness, a spiritual wickedness in high places out to get you. I don't know how, last night, if you weren't here, you might not understand all this, but I can tell you, if you listen to it, you will. I don't know how you can destroy a world and eliminate all the flesh on the earth and take 8 people and put them on an ark and let them come, and then the Spirit of God's hovering all over this thing. He puts a rainbow in the sky, makes a promise to you, gives you a covenant, and then you make a vineyard, and you drink that wine, and all of a sudden, one of your sons comes in and has your wife anchored. It was anchored in him. It was anchored from the past. You got to go to God. You got to let God take that out because it's just a matter of time that the enemy is going to take what's anchored in you and it's going to cause you to be separated from the Lord. Now, ain't nobody could have selected them as better than God. And all of indication, they're all saved. We got 8 people saved on an ark. Saved. I know you're saved. But I can tell you, the problem is not you not being saved. The problem is when that principality decides to use you. And he'll use those anchored spots, those spots that we did not say, Lord, let me just tell you, let me give you an example. Before you came to the Lord, or even after you came to the Lord, and you committed any iniquity, whatever that was, maybe you had an affair. And you said, well, I asked the Lord, forgive me, I'm doing good, I'm past that. I'd be checking that anchor right there. You know how you do it? You go to that place. You go to that time. You go to that frame of thought in your mind and you say, Lord, this point right here, this was a bad time in my life. This was a time that I didn't listen to you and I should have. And I'm pulling this anchor up. I'm cutting a rope. I'm letting it go. And I ask that the blood of Jesus come and cleanse me of that attachment. That's really being precise in getting the job done. And I'd rather do that than wait and wait. Say, I don't have to do all that. You know, I know the Lord. Go on. And it won't be long. See how I got you? Don't tell me this is not real, because it is. It only takes something to trigger it. You don't want to get where it brings memories up where you It feels good. You want to get, when you think about it, you vomit. It's nauseating to you because I can't believe I let me get there. And only God could do that. Let me tell you what makes you feel that way. The glory. The glory makes you feel that way. The more the glory comes, the more you disdain that type of thinking, that mentality. You can't stand it. You can't stand it. Let me tell you a true story. I'm not going to mention any names, but this is a true story. A bishop in our lifetime, he didn't deal with what I'm talking about. He was well known, thousands of people. And he had this homosexual spirit. Wherever it come from, I don't know. I don't know that much about it. But it got so bad, he would have him a boy before he got up to preach in the church, and then have him one after. This is the bishop. Should I go to Timothy and tell you the qualifications of the bishop? He was disqualified before he ever got the title. But we put him in that position, right? And somehow, don't worry about it, the grace is going to take care of it. Really? God knows what he's talking about, and said they disqualified. Don't put him in that position. Finally, it came out. Because by then, social media came along. And you get social media is so addictive that you will tell on yourself and not even know you did. You tell the robber when to go to your house because you just left. Don't tell me it doesn't happen. It happens all the time. Crazy. Because we feel like it makes us more important that everybody knows that I'm doing something. Well, he started selfieing. Remember when selfies just came out and it was the thing? You can get like a million hits on a selfie that you put on your Twitter or whatever. So he started doing that. In his underwear and, you know, tank tops. And he was built. The guy was strong, bodybuilder. He was fit. But he loved boys. He was married. He had children. Churches, he had 7,000-8,000 people. Think about it. Well, then it came out. It's out now. It's on social media. Everybody knows it. All your gang you run with knows it. Well, people clung to him and said, "We're going to be behind you, Pastor. We're with you." And he stood up and he said, "The Lord knew when he called me," this is his words, "that I have issues and I wouldn't be perfect. But this that I'm being blamed for, I'm going to fight it with everything I got." Well, it's one thing to fight people and what they say. It's another thing to fight God. All of a sudden, his physique was gone. 125, 130 pounds later, he's skin and bones, and he dies of AIDS. This is our lifetime, real handy stories, not long ago. I remember when all this whole thing was going up, when they brought him in, and he went from, I don't know, from bishop to something else. And they took chair, and they put him on the chair, and all the men raised him up and elevated him. And he had the scroll in his hand. This was all live. And I said, "That right there is where you just crossed the line. You took the scroll, the Tanakh." That's why the spirit of Torah is so important. Because he's telling us what he meant. Now, we can twist it. We can do whatever we want to the scripture, to our own demise, up to us. But the spirit of God is going to tell us exactly what we ought to be doing. And there are some things, even us, this church, that we have tied to us, that today we need to cut the line. Who come here to say, "You know what? I want to cut the line. I don't want to be all of a sudden when I'm in my prayer time, or I'm really trying to focus, I get this, all of a sudden I'm brought back. Cut the line. Go to God, very specific, and say to the Lord, Lord, this situation, you know what? It was so foolish of me. So foolish of me. And I didn't do this. I wasn't like hoodwinked or anything. That was an actual sin. I participated in it. And I pray, and I believe I'm serving you, and I love you. I just come off the ark. It's just us. God, it's me and my two brothers and my dad. It's just us and our wives. And it only takes a moment. It takes one moment. But let me tell you what the enemy's going to want to do. If it's there and it's tied to you, he's always going to come to make you usurp the authority of the one you're serving. In this case, Ham's authority was his father, Noah. Noah's responsible, the covenant was to him. And Ham, that demonic influence that was anchored after all the salvation, all the saving grace of not drowning, he stepped out of that boat, and that spirit rose up in him because it was there. And he seized upon a moment to usurp the authority of his father and take what belonged only to his father. That's what the enemy wants you to do. How many say, I give myself to the Father? We know it's through Christ. How many say that? That anchor is to get you to usurp what only belongs to the Father. Where's your praise belong? To the Father. Where's your dance belong? He don't nay-nay. Is this helping anybody? Listen, I just want you to know, I've milled and wept many times over this. And I've stayed up in the nighttime and I asked the Lord, God, please, I'm begging you, don't let me say it wrong. I'd rather not say it at all. I'm saying, God, I see all this wrong. How do I know? How do I know that I'm not doing the same thing? Son, that's what I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to make you see that you can protect yourself, that you don't say the wrong thing. You have to use the spirit of the Torah. You have to. Tonight has to become real to you. Do you see how I can say this is the most important thing I've ever done as a pastor? Can you see now? Because inside of you, it knots up. I've been doing this a long time. You know, you think, I'm over this, Lord. You never get over it. You never get over the fact that everything I said this morning, I'm going to be held accountable to. And it matters to me. I'd rather not say anything, because if I don't say anything, then how can I be accountable for it? I didn't say anything. But I've been responsible. I'm responsible because the Lord has called me. And listen to me, careful, church. I'm not here to discourage you. Sometimes I go home and I say, Lord, it seems like all I did was discourage people. And I look at these guys and they're just there saying, you know, they're smiling, they're encouraging everybody, and everybody's praising, everybody's clapping, everybody's just going home and they're going, man, it was such a good service. But I'm responsible for what I tell you. And what I want you to do is I want you to take this in consideration, that when you're under the attack, the enemy comes against you, that I thank God that somebody told me how to cut this rope. That's my problem. It's easy to say it's somebody else. Man, if you wouldn't have brought that over here, I wasn't even thinking about that today. You don't think the enemy knows that? That's why he brought it to you. If you're trying to get off of something, he's going to bring the guy around who never would give you anything before, and they're going to give it to you. That's how it is. You cut that tie and you go, man, I can't do that. I'm done with that. That don't praise my Father. That don't honor him. And you cut it. Who wants to cut some anchors that you've been anchored down? You know what an anchor does? It stops you from moving. You could put it in wide open. Some of you say, man, I just gave all I could this morning. I was singing as loud as I had. I had my eyes closed so tight, I was dizzy when I opened them up. I was in it, wide open. But man, I don't know if I went anywhere. Anchor. Anchor. I'm trying. You know, we always want something different. Something got to be different. Maybe that's why I ain't going forward. Anchor. That's why. Once you cut that, it's almost like there's so much pressure on you. You have a desire. But when you cut it, just the fact that you've been pulling on it so long, there's a momentum that you'll have to step closer to the glory. When that happens, the first thing you're going to do is look at you and go, oh, there's another anchor. Daily. Daily. There's things coming off of you, things coming off of me that have been on there a long time. And the more it comes off, the more you're going to come into his presence. Because after all, what are we after? We're after that garment, to be clothed in that garment that was lost in the garden. That's what it is. How many ready for this? I hope today that next Saturday I'm going to be talking about Romans 25:4. Thou shalt not muzzle an ox when it treads out the corn. That doesn't mean what everybody thought. Okay, I know, didn't I say I was getting on eye for an eye today? That doesn't mean that either. But we're going to talk about that Saturday, okay? So muzzle the ox and eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth is coming. That's what we'll be talking about. We're going to see the spirit of Torah in those statements. Why did he say it? And I can tell you, though eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, it could be the second most important thing in all of Scripture. That's quite a statement. Second to Christ crucified. Maybe we should know that then. Right? But it's all been played off for something else. We're going to look at it in the spirit of Torah. We're going to see it for what God meant it to mean. Amen? Well, anchor cutting time. Right? Lord, I don't know what it is. Sometimes I just get so far and then I can't go no more. It's up to you to cut that. It's up to you. So I'm not going to ask my usual question. Is anybody here need prayer? I already come to that conclusion. We all need prayer. We all need to take a look. And that's what it does. How many was challenged this morning by the word? How many want to take some time and say, let me take a look here. What is it? Whatever it is. Do we have the spirit of the world or the spirit of Elohim? What gets you going? When you get down, what gets you happy again? Think about it. Let's think.